Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are grateful to be in the house of the Lord here this beautiful Friday night? Amen. How many came ready? Amen. How many came ready to hear a word from the Lord? Amen. How many want to get challenged? Amen. How many had a good week, but you want to have a better week? Amen. Now, how many love Jesus? Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus, put your hands together one more time. Praise God. I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation here this night. I'm just grateful for this time, this opportunity. I'm going to share one scripture, just two verses, and here this night, I know we're in a theme of a time to recognize Jesus, and I titled this message, A Time to Recognize Jesus Through His Power. A time to recognize Jesus through his power, because how many know in the days, the times that we're living in, we need God's power. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many know we need God's power?
Amen.
In order to make it day by day, at times moment by moment, how many really want to make an impact for Jesus?
Amen.
How many have been saved by the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And as we stay within this theme, I really believe that I know we're learning a lot. I know I for myself have been encouraged. I know I've been learning. I've been stirred within the theme of the armor of God. We heard 2 weeks ago about the shoes of peace. The King James Version says, be shod with the shoes of the gospel. So be fitted with the correct shoes. Because how many know that the enemy does not play fair? And then we heard on the belt of truth. So in that, I just hope to stay in line. And what I want to share here this night is as we walk through our Christianity, as we walk through with the Lord, because I believe we all have our personal walk with the Lord. How many can say that you have your personal walk with the Lord?
Amen.
That you can say you wake up and, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. You wake up and you have a plan, you have a purpose. And so I really believe here within this ministry that we got saved with a plan and a purpose. And to help us fulfill that purpose, I believe there's a lot that we can learn within the Bible. There's a lot that we can learn really in Christianity. There's a lot of areas. There's a lot of things in the Bible. I shared with the men how to lay down a proper foundation. And how many know that as we get saved or we are saved, we're serving the Lord, our foundation needs to be right. Our foundation needs to be right if we want to last. And how many want to last?
Amen.
So if you want to last, I want to talk to you here this night. So I hope to get your attention. I'm going to share these scriptures and I'm just going to touch briefly really on what I think that we need as a church. The book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. Acts, chapter 1, verse 7. And it reads like this. It says, he replied. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And he's talking to the apostles. Now, this is very important. Because these are the last words I want to say that Jesus spoke to his apostles. And how many know when you give somebody your last words, they're very important. They're vital. So you want to make sure you're paying attention. Because these are some of the last words. And they were not only words, but they were instructions. And how many know here this night that Jesus was always giving instructions.
Amen.
It's good to follow instructions.
Amen.
We go to work, we need to follow instructions. You go home, you got to follow instructions, you got to clean the house. Whatever you do, you download so many apps, they make you follow 1,000 instructions just for you to have fun with that app that pleases the flesh. When Jesus is trying to get us to please the Spirit. So he came and the last words, after he spent all this time with them, he spent so many days, the Bible records 40 days, spending with his disciples, the apostles, making sure that they knew what Jesus wanted within their lives. And that's what I believe here this night, that I believe we all know what he wants. We all know what the Lord is asking of you and I. But it's another thing really to apply this area. It's another thing really to apply this area of a time to recognize Jesus through his power. Because I believe it's God's power, it's God's authority, it's God's anointing that is able to break bondages, that is able to set the captives free. And that's why we're here, Victory Outreach International, over 50 years later, in over 30 countries, in 300 cities all over the world, because a man and a woman decided to allow the power of God to flow within their lives. And so this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. Now, many know there's interesting times that we're living in. With everything that's going on in the world around us, in our very own backyard. I mean, not recently, with all these riots everywhere. And some say, we had a brother from Minneapolis. He said those riots are still going on there in the city of Minneapolis. They just don't show them on the news. But he said they're still going on. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Let's keep that in mind. And verse 8, this is where I just want to bring out everything. But you will receive power. Somebody say power.
Power.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, right now, we thank you, we love you, we give you all glory and honor. And I pray, Lord God, simply allow us to receive. I pray, Lord, that we are able to receive of your power, my God. Bless this word in the name of Jesus. And everybody says,
amen,
amen and amen. So I want to share this word here with you here this night. And what I want to talk about really is, I believe that what we need as a church, and what we need especially as an end time church, is really the only thing the disciples needed there in the beginning. It's the same thing they needed back then. I believe it's the same thing you and I need now. Because all this is good. I want to thank also those joining online via Facebook. I mean, technology is good. The lights is good. Our sanctuary is good. I'm going to be grateful for the sanctuary. They were able to fit you and I. They were able to accommodate so many needs. So we have all these things and they're good. They're there for our enjoyment. Praise God. But one thing that is very vital that we can never dance around or go across, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what only God himself could do through you and I. Because last time I checked, it was only Jesus himself who could step into my life. Last time I checked, last time I remember, it was only God himself who interrupted my life. I mean, Paul says, who could save a wretched man like me? I'm able to say the only one who could step into my miserable life, no matter how much I thought I had it together, was only Jesus himself. And if Jesus is the only one, if Jesus started the work within you and I, well, then Jesus is the only one that can continue. Jesus is the only one that can finish the work. How many can say amen? How many are grateful that Jesus stepped into your life? And so that's what I want to speak about what we need within these end times, within our lives, within everywhere, our ministry, our marriages, our relationships, our job sites. And all this plays into what we're learning about the armor of God. I mean, what a better time to learn about the armor of God, to learn about how to speak God's word, which is what they did. Jesus said, you can't even go anywhere. You guys think you have it together. And I know a lot of times, many of us, we may think we have it together. We may think we have all the answers. But Jesus said, there's still something that's lacking within your life. And here this night, I believe it's the same thing that we still need. We don't need, I don't think we need a bigger building or a fancier building. I don't think we need all. What we truly need here within this time we're living in is the power of God. It's once again for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit within you and I. But the question becomes, are we ready? The question becomes, are we willing? Do we even want to? Are we waiting upon the Holy Spirit? Are we wanting to receive what the Lord wants to give us? Because Jesus just gave them one instruction, and all he said was, you need to wait here. I mean, you know, at times we have trouble waiting. This generation doesn't like to wait. Everything's got to be done, not now, but right now. And everything, and so it's an aspect that the Lord is trying to teach you and I. Why? Because when you wait upon the Lord, it's never in vain. When you wait upon the Lord, it's never in vain. And we wait for everything and anything else. We wait downloading, watching movies, in line, in a car, fast, everything else. But yet, we need to learn how to wait upon the Lord. And so here within this time, what Jesus was doing is he was preparing his apostles for the next step within their lives. Because a lot of people believe that this was the beginning of the church, But really, this is the empowering of the church. I believe that the birth of the church was when Jesus, you could read it in John chapter 20, when he breathed into the disciples the Holy Spirit. That's the birth of the church. And here, you just see an empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus knew what they needed. He knew he had a group of people who had been with him for 3 years with the master disciple himself. That's why I always say the home is a year long. Praise the Lord, those that are watching online. And I know the home is grateful to be here. We have some people in the home. They're going to be lifers. Praise God. But they're learning. We're spending time, not just together, but we're spending time with the Lord. And how many can say that you spent some good time with Jesus? Because if anything matters, what matters is spending time with the Lord. If anything, you can brag about, the Bible says, you can brag about how much you know God. That's one thing that we should be able to tell someone else. And that's the one thing that Jesus wanted to instruct his disciples. There was only one mission that they were supposed to do. And that was let others know of the good news of the gospel. That word gospel, when you break it down, all it means is good news. And what good news? That the penalty was paid for you and I. That we don't have to live the way we used to live before. We don't have to live in that mess any longer. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be lost and bound in our sin any longer. You see, that was the good news. And they were waiting for that news for years. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the prophet, the Son of God himself. Finally, when he shows up, finally when he's there, they're able to see the miracles that he does. But more importantly, they're able to see that now they have salvation. Now they have a restored fellowship with God the Father. And that's what we have here this night. That Jesus not only broke the bondage, not only broke the curses. The Bible says he broke the generational curses. I mean, I'm grateful that God broke generational curses within my life. I'm grateful that I could look at my family and know that they're able to have such a wonderful blessing within their life. And it's nothing that I did. It's of what Jesus has done. So how dare I not do what God has called me to do so that they can also receive the calling of God. They could also know who Jesus is within their lives. And so Jesus knew this was the beginning. And in order for them to move forward, in order for them to do it the right way, they still needed something else. And a lot of times, there's things that we learn. There's things that we're about to face. I mean, how many have ever faced something you've thought you've always been by yourself? How many thought, I'm about to go in this and I'm by myself right now. Nobody's going to help me. No matter how much someone trains you, you yourself have to step into that field and do it for yourself. No matter how much coaching you get, how much training you get, how much education you get, how much breakthrough you get, you still have to step out there and do it by yourself. You still have to be the one to get your feet wet. You still have to be the one to learn from mistakes. You still have to be the one to get that hands-on experience. Books are good, but you still have to walk it out. And so Jesus knew. He said, they've learned all these things. They've seen me watch, or they've watched me do all these miracles. They lived with me for years. Now they have to be on their own. I'm no longer going to be with them. So in order for this to last, they need one more thing. Because you got to remember, this was the beginning of the church. It's when it started and everything fell. Everything counted upon if they made it or not. So he had to know for sure. And he had to guarantee that this plan was not going to fail. And so it's the same within our lives. It's almost as Jesus said, I can guarantee you that my plan will not fail. I can guarantee you that what I have for your life, it's fail-proof. It will not fall through. But you have to follow this instruction. Because as the beginning, as starting off, I mean, you know that how you begin really matters. What you do in the very beginning, it really matters. Now, the Lord, God's grace and mercy is able to step in, is able to restore. But I want to be one that lays down a good foundation. I want to be one that lays down a foundation that is able to last. I say this a lot, I say it often, but I really believe that our testimony in the Lord should outweigh our testimony in the world. Yes, we were lost and bound. Yes, the devil had his way within our lives, but how many can say that Jesus now has done a greater work? We should be able to say that I've been saved, set free 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's been years now that I haven't went back to drugs, drinking, or smoking. It's been years now that I haven't said a cuss word within my mouth. It's been years now that I've been married. And all those years have to go of what Jesus has done within my life. But that should be the same within all our lives. We should all be able to have that testimony. And no longer desire the things of the world. As Jason used that scripture, not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And who is the one that renews our mind? Who is the only one that is able to step in to set the captives free? Who is the only one that is able to continue to lead, to guide you day after day and moment after moment? It's only Jesus through the power of His Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to get across. That as we begin, as you begin your salvation, or you're still continuing, however we find ourselves here this night, those watching online, maybe you don't know Jesus, but you begin to ask yourself, there has to be something better. Because that's what I did years ago. I believe I was 22 years old. I was bored of life. And I say this again, I tasted the best of both worlds. I mean, I had scholarships. I say it to pastor, but it's the truth. I had a 4.0 GPA without even trying. Right? Alberto thinks he had one. I had a better one. Praise the Lord. I think at the end of my senior year, I had like 50 cuts, and I still maintained the 3.9 dropped at the end. I was able to play the number system. That's who I was. And then later on, I was able to make money. I had to learn how to install carpets. I had a trade. I was 22, 23 years old. I was making $1,000 a week. I tasted the best of both worlds. I went into the party scene. I did all that. Nothing satisfied my life. Until one day, I was able to taste of the goodness of the Lord. One day, I was able to know who Jesus was. But you see, what I want to share is that it doesn't stop there. Because I know when I got saved, I know there was a purpose within my life. And I knew it. In order for me to continue my walk with the Lord. And that's what I want to share here this night. How many want to share? Or how many want to continue your walk with the Lord? How many want to continue strong? That you're able to say, I'm going to make it. There's nothing that's going to be able to get in my way. Because that's what the apostles went through. Jesus understood as soon as they leave these doors. And how many know, as soon as we leave these doors, temptation will be outside. As soon as you leave those doors, sin will be crouching at the door, the Bible says. But then He says, you must rule over, you must master it, so they will not have you. And Jesus knew one thing that they needed, and I understood. Nobody taught, nobody broke it down to me, nobody brought me. I just knew who God was, but yet I knew also what I needed. And I believe that's something that is vital, that's missing sometimes, not in our church really, but personally within our lives. Because I believe we all should have that personal relationship with the Lord. I believe by now we should all spend some time with Jesus. There should be no excuse of why we're not spending time with the Lord. And I know that at times we can have those areas, we can want to sleep in, and we can have hard times. I mean, I have a 2.5-year-old, I have a newborn baby, I have so many things. I don't know how many sleep, I think combined my week I've gotten 6 hours of sleep. Praise the Lord. But what I need to do is get into the area of prayer. What I need to do is get a hold of Jesus and continue for the Lord to saturate my life. Because I know the Bible says apart from Him, I can do nothing. I know what I could do. I know where I brought myself. 22 years of life brought me straight nowhere. I couldn't handle it any longer. I wanted something different. But for me to remain in that area, and still to this day, for me to remain, and I believe for the church to remain, what worked then is what will work now. Because what we need now, I believe it's not what the world has to offer, what the government has to offer, what he has to offer, she has to offer, a job has to offer. What we need now is nothing short but the power of God. And as Jesus brought His disciples, He said, in order for this to work, this is the beginning. And in order for the beginning to last, it has to be done right. The beginning is very vital. Your walk with the Lord is very vital. And so this is a foundation that Jesus had to portray within their lives for them to carry out. It was the beginning of the church. And so he couldn't take any risk. And he had to tell them, you need to wait here. You can't even move forward. And this beginning is very vital. It's very important. I just had my first son, but with my son and my daughter, when they were born, immediately there was like 10 doctors surrounding them, and there was nurses, and right away they bring them out, and right away they bring them, they check the weight, and right away they check and make sure how their breathing is, their temperature, every area. And if anything goes wrong, then they separate them, and with both, they had to isolate them and put them in the little NICU for some time, because the beginning really mattered. If they allowed them to continue without making those corrections, it would have been fatal at the end. And so Jesus is understanding, if he allows you and I to continue without making those corrections, without making those adjustments, it could be fatal at the end. And that's what he doesn't want to happen within our lives. And I believe I've seen too many times where there's people come and people go, and there's been fatalities within the church that I believe shouldn't happen. But one area is we need to learn how to wait upon the Lord. One area is we need to, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's an attribute that we all need to have as the church, as the body of Christ, to know who God is, to know that we cannot make it on our own, to know that if we want to get closer to the Lord, to really truly know of knowing who God is, there's an area that is lacking, there's an area that is vital, and that's the power of God within our lives. There in verse 7, he says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Now, what I like about this verse and what I want to bring out is there are things in the Bible that we won't understand. So please don't ask me any questions about breaking down the Trinity and who's Melchizedek and all these other things. Don't worry about those things. There's things in the Bible you will not understand. That's why God is God, and that's why you are you. Otherwise, we wouldn't need God. I think Pastor Williams is the one that says, thank God you ain't God, right? In other words, we want everything, you know, have it our way. But there's things in the Bible that we won't understand. What does that mean? There's also things in the world we don't need to understand. There's things in our lives we don't need to understand. We don't have to understand everything. But the things that we do understand, that we need to apply. See, we overcomplicate things. We need to just go back to the basics and keep it simple. I share this with the men, but even in basketball, I forgot it was a UCLA coach. But he said that when he saw his team in basketball, and he saw that they were missing steps and they were kind of losing, and he saw that something was going wrong, he would bring them in and he would say, okay, this is what we're doing. He wouldn't draw up a fancy play. He wouldn't draw up some dynamic areas. He would say, we're going back to the basics. Just dribble the ball. Don't shoot. Just learn how to pass. Go back to dribbling. We need to go back to the basics, the fundamentals, until they regain composure. And within the church, that's what we're missing at times. It's just the basics. I mean, just prayer and reading. We just need to get those done, and I can guarantee we'll go very far. You get a checklist on that one, I can guarantee your life can change for the better. But there are things in the Bible we don't need to understand. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. You guys write this down. Highlight this in your Bible. It says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. What does that mean? At times we're not going to understand all that we read in the Bible, but what we do understand, that we need to apply. I believe we all understand, thou shalt not lie. How many have not lied this past week? We all understand, thou shalt not steal. How many have tried to take something here or there, but conviction kicks in? Your own conscience kicks in. I mean, there's things that we understand, and that's what we need to apply. That's why Jesus was saying, listen, you guys are focusing on the wrong agenda. Don't focus on that. I have that area under control. That's not for you to focus on. And at times we have the wrong focus. The quote or the saying that Pastor was trying to give on Wednesday was, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that's why at times We can just go anywhere, be led by anyone, do anything and everything, because we don't know where we're going. I mean, how many know in Victory Outreach International, there's a vision that God has given Victory Outreach International. And I said there's a vision that God has given Victory Outreach International, and that's to reach treasures out of darkness. You and I are those treasures out of darkness. I'm grateful that someone reached my life. I'm grateful there was a Victory Outreach when I got saved in Chicago, but I'm grateful there was a Victory Outreach here in Milwaukee that was able to further my life, that was able to further my growth, that was able to withstand, that wasn't worried about what they didn't understand, but was concerned about the things they knew. And that's what you and I need to do. So my question is, what have we been following lately? We heard on Wednesday night, is where you're aiming at. We need to aim at the target. I believe one of the definitions of sin, if you break that one down, is just missing the mark. That's one of the definitions of sin, is just missing the mark. I always go to James, it's 4:17. To him who knows what is right but does not do it, to him it is considered sin. That's all that sin is. When we know what is right, but we don't do it. And so we have to be grateful for the grace of God that is able to step in and carry us. But Jesus was saying, don't worry about the things you don't understand. And too many times we worry about this, we worry about that, we ask on this, what does the Bible say about this? Like, brother, just pray. I mean, have you even prayed? I guarantee you, if you spend some time with the Lord, then understanding will change. I guarantee you spend some time with the Lord, your misconception might change a little bit. But see, too many times we're not even spending time with the Lord. I believe I think it was Miles Monroe. In one of his books, he wrote down, I will never trust the thought of someone who's not saved, because they don't have the mind of Christ. Why would we go to the world for godly advice? Why are we going to the world for godly wisdom? Why are we going to someone who doesn't even know Jesus to try and lead and guide our lives, when we have the answers right before us? And one of those answers, Jesus replied, you're not ready yet. There's something that you need. And I believe if we receive this area, I believe truly that a lot of areas just fall within our lives, because the scripture we're studying, our pastor's been preaching on, is we don't fight or we don't wrestle or we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers, authorities in the dark world. And nowadays, we're not wrestling with a physical enemy. I mean, I've said this before, but I don't think any one of us has seen the devil. It's not like you go out and start your work and the devil crosses the street. What we're wrestling against is spiritual forces, depression, suicide, anger, idolatry, greed, fornication. All those are the arrows that we're wrestling against. So how are we fighting against these things that suppress our lives, that grab a hold of our lives, that's grabbing a hold of the world right now? That is what's out there. That's what we're fighting against. I mean, thank God that you and I got set free. But now what are we doing about that? We're not just meant to be saved and sit in the church and go back home. That was not the mission. That's not what Jesus told his disciples. He didn't say, listen, I came, you know me, praise the Lord, go back to your jobs, go back to fishing, go back to where you came from. That's not what he told them. And that's not what he's telling you and I. And too many times we get comfortable within our lives. I mean, there's someone that said the greatest enemy of forward progress is just comfort. Too many times we remain comfortable within our lives. I'm okay. Don't challenge me. I don't need to do that. Comfort is the greatest enemy you will ever face. It does not allow you to go forward. You want to remain where you're at. You don't like being challenged. You don't like being questioned. But that's not what you and I are supposed to do. I mean, Jesus came in and told his disciples, this is why you need to wait. There's going to be an enemy out there. This is why you need the power of God. This is why you need something from within to stir you, because there's still others that are lost. Our family members are still lost. Our friends are still lost. Our neighbors are still lost. And that's the ones that we need to reach. And those are the areas. If we focus on those areas, I mean, someone once said, don't worry about reaching the world, reach your neighbor. Have in your mind right now, we reach one more person. I mean, how many can say you're working with someone? that by this time, next month, next year, whatever, however it takes, I will bring one more person into the kingdom of God. I don't know how many have brought in through the home now. And all I do is, okay, take off. You're not my, you go to pastor now. You better be ready. I can only take you so far. But you got to be ready by the time you go with pastor. That's my job. And all we do is lead them to Jesus so they can continue to serve. They can continue to follow. He goes on to say those dates and times are not for you to know. And I believe I just touched on that briefly. But no one really knows when Jesus is coming back. But we all believe and we all know that he will one day soon. How many want to be ready for when Jesus comes back? It's an area that at a time I want to see. I mean, I've always said this. If you know me, I said, man, that would be one of the greatest sights to see, right? When Jesus comes, the church gets raptured. But then again, I ask myself, well, I don't want that yet because I want my family to be saved. I need others really to still know the Lord. So that's why we need to be ready. So the question is, what do we do in the meanwhile? Because he was saying those dates and times are not for you to know. I believe I'm going to go back to this little portion. I'm going to go back to this portion in a while. But then he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I know, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Now this is what he meant. As this is happening, Jesus told his disciples, this will happen, but this is what you need to do to get prepared. Now I want to share this, and I'm going to just share some things I found out. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 4, Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Did you know, I heard a statistic, Christian radio once, that from 10 or 15 years, there's been about 1,000 people that have claimed that they're the Christ. Just in that time span, there's been 1,000 people. There's a church, I want to say in Puerto Rico, that a man, and you can look, he says he's Jesus in the flesh, and he has a great following. So these are the times we're living in. It says, and you will hear of wars and threat of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. This is an area I want us to focus in. Nation will go to war against nation. I mean, I don't know how many wars have been going on lately. Kingdom against kingdom, and this is interesting. There will be famines, earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pangs with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And that's what's going on nowadays. I mean, it's, you know, they're beheading Christians in the Middle East. They're lining them up. You say you follow Jesus, they'll cut your head off. In America, I mean, we don't face that, but yet we seem to struggle at times. In China, it's illegal to even hold the Bible. And yet, I think statistically, every house in America, Americans have at least 3 Bibles in their houses. But how many people read their Bibles? Because if we were to read our Bibles, there would be a revival. And that's what 12 apostles, 12 disciples did. A true revival that changed the world, that flipped their world upside down by one instruction. And they followed that instruction. It says, many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. We can go ahead and stop there. I'm going to read a couple of things I found out and then I'm going to close off. But the part I want to touch on this because Jesus said, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates. And I want to just have us a glimpse of what has been going on. Because I like a lot, I really like statistics and numbers. And I really like to learn about those areas. But especially as Jesus was saying was where these things were happening, there's still something that you and I need to do as a church. And I believe our focus shouldn't be on trying to fix that problem. Our focus should be trying to fix ourselves first. Our focus should be on fixing ourselves on the inside. Because really all that next person needs to know is who Jesus is. Because as long as they know who Jesus is, and as long as they know that their sins have been forgiven, that they're saved by grace through faith, then they're able to have a reward that's called heaven. And that's our job. That's our sole ministry, the Bible says. The ministry of reconciliation. That we don't have to suffer eternal hell. We don't have to suffer those things that because of our sins separate us from God. But because of what Jesus did, others are able to know of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is our mission. As all this is going on, our job is simply to let others know of who Jesus is. But as we do that, there's still a requirement. Because how many know it's not easy to tell people about Jesus? I mean, at times, how many can say that you can go out there and just start preaching the gospel? How many can, or is it just me? How many can say it's difficult preaching to your family? It's hard at times telling your coworker, your neighbor, the love of Jesus. It's hard at times even to receive it ourselves. So that's why this is vital. That's why Jesus said, I cannot let you go forward. But what's interesting is, I was looking some areas, and this has happened in the last 10 years. Now, Jesus was speaking about earthquakes, famines, pestilence all over the world. And all he said is, when these times come, it's only the beginning. And then he said, if you can go back to chapter 24, I want to read what he says almost to the end. There in verse 14, because I believe it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. You could hold it right there. It says, and then the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. And Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Then he goes on to say, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So keep that in mind. It says, everyone will hear God's word, and then the end will come. These are just a few statistics of what's been happening in the past 10 years. And then I'm going to just recap the past year. In May 12, 2008, in China, there was a 7.8 magnitude earthquake. About 87,000 people lost their lives. January 13, 2010, in Haiti, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake. About 316,000 people lost their lives. February 27, 2010. In Chile, there was another earthquake, 8.8. It says 500 people lost their lives, some $300 billion worth in damage. February 22nd, 2011, New Zealand, another earthquake, 180 people lost their lives, $15 billion in damage. March 11, 2011, Japan, 9.0 earthquake. It said 15,000 people that lost their lives. I'm going to go forward a little bit. September 24, 2013, Pakistan, two earthquakes measuring 7.7, 6.8 strike Pakistan's southward border, killing at least 800 people. In August 13, 2014, in China, another earthquake in southwestern China killed at least 600 people. October 26, 2015, in Afghanistan, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake that hits Afghanistan nearly kills 400 people. In 2016, Italy, these are the more recent ones, a 6.2 magnitude earthquake strikes a cluster and east of Rome, killing about 300 people. And September 19, 2017, in Mexico, a 7.1 magnitude hits Mexico City, killing at least 400 people. Now keep that in mind as Jesus was speaking about these things. That was the last 10 years. I'm going to recap the last year. These now have happened in the last year. Now these are interesting because as Jesus was saying, when you hear about these things, my word will go forth and then the end will come. And this is 2020. The first one is the Australian brush fire. I think we've all heard about that one. The fires in Australia. That was the latter half of 2019 into 2020. Beginning in December 2019 when Australia, a brush fire showed no signal slowing down. And it kept spreading. And to this day, they weren't able to have an answer. Another thing is floods in Indonesia. January 1st, 2020. There was devastating floods destroying Indonesia's capital. It's called Jakarta, and some neighboring areas. People were forced to flee from their homes, accompanied by heavy rains. It says about 66 people lost their lives to a natural disaster. Could you imagine fleeing your homes because it never stopped raining? There was floods everywhere. Recently, I mean, everyone, and now that's why we have to wear masks and follow the spacing, is the dreaded coronavirus. Virus that has shut down the whole world and impacted the global economy itself. Another thing that happened is a volcano eruption in the Philippines. The volcano was the second most active volcano in Philippines. It started rumbling January 12th, following an eruption in ash that dust that covered 100 kilometers away. It had last erupted 43 years back. Now, this part is interesting. The volcano left huge ash clouds, which caused mass evacuations of over 300,000 people. That's like half the size of Milwaukee. So that's half the city being evacuated. Another thing this year happened is earthquakes in Turkey, the Caribbean, China, Iran, Russia, Philippines, and India. There have been so many earthquakes in 2020 that if they were to be categorized as natural disasters, the list would be unnaturally long. So far this year, there has been 45 earthquakes categorized over the magnitude of 6.0. Recently, locust swarms in East Africa and parts of India and Asia. Now you can look this up. Millions of desert locusts, almost like biblical Egyptian times. Millions of desert locusts have swarmed 5 states in India, other parts of Russia. And then it says that they first detected in East Africa. The deadly locusts do not affect humans, but they cause damage to crops. Another thing that happened was a cyclone is almost not a hurricane, but it's around the same degree that happened in India and Bangladesh. And not just forest fires in India, but even also recently forest fires in California. Now these are all the things that have happened just this year. Kind of paints a picture of what Jesus was talking about. And this is 2020, still not over. So Jesus was saying, when you hear these things, he said, my word will be preached to all the world. Now, what I find interesting is now, because of the virus, technology, as everyone's going online, is making it that much quicker for everyone to hear the gospel. Well, we could be here in Milwaukee, the city of West Allis, but someone could hear the gospel halfway across the world. And Jesus said, when everyone hears my word, then the end will come. So until then, there was only one instruction given to his church. And I believe that's the same instruction that we still need to follow to this day. Because we can worry about this, we can worry about that, we can quote this and quote that, and worry about our job. But our only job really was to wait upon the Lord. Our only job really was just to be filled with the power from on high. That was our only job. That was the only job then. And it should be our only job now. That word power, it simply means ability to produce an effect. Now watch this. It means legal or official authority. It means we have legal or official authority of the Holy Spirit to pronounce the kingdom of God, to pronounce the good news. It means capacity or right, possession of control. So what do we control here this night? We control the good news of the gospel. It says authority or influence over others. I mean, who are we influencing here this night? Too many times we're being influenced by the things of the world. Too many times we're being influenced and led the wrong way. Why? We don't have the power from on high. It's easy to follow this and follow that and follow any trend that comes our way. Why? There is no power within our lives. We should be the ones that influence others. I believe it's David Wilkerson, the one that said too many times, the church is looking like the world instead of the world looking like the church. Why? Where is the power? And that's what I want to share here this night. A time to recognize Jesus through his power. I mean, I believe this with all my heart, that everywhere we walk into, someone should be able to recognize a difference within our lives. Anywhere we go to, someone should be able to recognize what God has done within our lives. Anywhere we go to, someone should be able to desire, someone should be able to ask, someone should be able to want what the Lord has done within our lives. It's another definition is a source or means of supplying energy. How many need some energy here this night? I know I need some energy. I mean, everything I do, I say, okay, God, you got to do something. I need some energy. And I'm drinking no coffee. Man, you better believe I need some energy from the Lord to keep me up and running. So why do we need this power? I know I shared earlier, but again, it's simply to let someone know about what Jesus has done within our lives. I was studying, I looked it up, but I didn't want to bring that over here. But the Holy Spirit is the only one that brings conviction to someone else when you share the gospel. You could tell someone all you want, but unless you have the power of the Lord within you, there'll be no conviction upon that person to want to change. I believe that's why there's a lack, a shortage in the church. I was reading another book. I have a goal. I have a goal, but it's a book by Leonard Ravenhill, and he said if there was as many spiritual births in the church or in the world, if there was as many spiritual births in the world as there were natural births, we wouldn't last. Well, it's the opposite. If there was, yeah. But his point was we need more spiritual births, because that's an area that, again, is vital within our lives. I'm grateful the Lord saved me. So now my job is not just to remain, but to stay in position. So are we ready to let others know of what God has done within our lives? I mean, all it is letting someone know I've been saved by grace through faith. All it is sharing your testimony. That's all the gospel is. Letting somebody know who you were before you met Christ. I mean, we got a long list of who we were before we met Christ. But we should be able to say, this is what God has done. And if you're not there, maybe some of us are not there. All you have to do is, just as the apostles did, is wait upon the Lord. If you do that, I can guarantee you God will do something within your life. How many want the Lord to do something within your life? How many want God to do something within your family's life? Within this church, within the city, within the nation, within the world. But it starts with you. There is no age limit. There is no separation. Jesus didn't put requirements upon this area. He didn't say, okay, you have to be saved for so long. You have to serve in the church for so long. You have to be a certain ethnicity. There is no blue, black, brown, or whatever. There's only a Christian. There's only a person that's saved by grace. There's only someone that has been transformed by the power of God. And that's who we are here this night. But again, we need the resurrection power within our lives. I believe there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, right around there. But it said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. That's the same power that lives within our lives. Now, if you think about that for a second, the same power that raised Jesus, the same power that took Jesus himself and brought him up, is the same power that lives within us. I mean, what is it that God cannot do? What is it then that we struggle against? What is it then that stops us, the Bible says? What is that sin that so easily entangles? Because that power now lives within you and I. And that's what Jesus wanted to give us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Somebody say witness. Witness. A good witness this time. Amen. Good witness. Not a bad witness. We were bad witnesses. We witnessed so many things. That word, a witness, simply means a person who gives a testimony. First off, we all have a testimony. How many gave a bad testimony? How many were a bad witness at one time? A person who gives a testimony. One asked to be present at a transaction so as to be able to testify to its having taken place. In other words, the disciples were able to give a testimony of what Jesus not only had done, but they were able to give a testimony that he died, but they rose again. And they were able to be witnesses of what he had done in and through their lives. Are we able to give a witness of what Jesus has done within our lives? I mean, how many are able to give a witness and say, I'm not that man I used to be. One time I was lost and bound, but I thank God that Jesus stepped into my life. I thank God that he saved my family. I thank God that he opened a door. I thank God for a ministry of victory outreach, that it's there, that the Lord is doing a work within my life. That's a witness that you and I need to be. And that's the testimony that needs to take place within our lives. I don't know if the worship team could make their way here this night. So my question is, what can we give testimony that has been taking place within our lives? Because carrying the good news, we need to be able to be truthful witnesses of who God is and what he has done in and through our lives. So simply put, this is what the church is about. This is our, you and I, this is our mission. We're saved by grace through faith. How many are grateful Jesus stepped into our lives? Amen. Amen. You can clap for Jesus. But now we have an instruction. Jesus went to his disciples. He appeared to them. He hung out with them. He saw them fishing. He had to put up with them a little bit. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit into their lives. And when you and I get saved, there's something that happens. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and you should be set free. You should be cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. I know when I got saved, I can testify, I can attest of what God did. When I didn't know what I was doing. I just went to the altar, and I knew that God was speaking to me. All I knew that God was tugging at my heart, and I had to make a decision at that moment. My choice, I had to say, do I go forward and walk a new life, or do I remain the same? Same man I've always been, same thing I've always doing. I know where it got me, I know where it will lead, or do I try something new? It was only one, all it took was one day, about 10 years ago, when I gave my life to the Lord, when I said yes to who Jesus was, and I opened my heart, and I said, God, if this is you, then I give you my life. At that moment, I knew. I couldn't describe it. I was a new person. And the power of the Holy Spirit came and cleansed my life. I walked out a brand new person. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't even cuss. And I didn't know what was going on. I had no desire to go back to the old things. There was no desire to go back to the world. But as I continued to walk with the Lord, there was one thing that happened that I knew I had to make a change. And that was when the Lord started to deal with me. He said, you got to make another choice. It's either all the way or this ain't going to work. And this is the same thing that Jesus told his disciples. Listen, you guys are here, you're saved. We can all stand here this night. And Jesus was telling them, you've been with me now for years. Some of us, we've been with the ministry for years. There still might be something lacking. And if it is, it's not a problem. Jesus can fix everything. That's why he went to heaven. He said, it's better for me that I go. It's for your benefit that I go. And he said, until you receive power, because once you continue, it's not going to be easy. I've been serving the Lord for 10 years here in Milwaukee for 8 years. It hasn't been easy. I've gone through some struggles. I've gone through some tribes, shared everything with my pastor. I don't think there's nothing that pastor doesn't know about me. Why? Because I want the power from on high. I want the Lord to continue to guide my every step. I want the Lord to continue and bless my family, bless my marriage, bless my children, bless this ministry. But for that to happen, I need to wait upon the Lord. I need to continue to wait and call upon Jesus, because I need power that's not my own. I need power from on high. So we go out there, we're going to face the enemy, we're going to face spiritual battles, spiritual demons. But when you have that power, that resurrection power, something happens within your life. The Bible says you have authority over these things. The Bible says you're more than an overcomer. The Bible says then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, right there where you are, you can lift your hands. Amen. If they want to sing the song. What I want to do is, you can make your altar call right there where you're at. But as you make your altar call all over this place, close your eyes. As they sing the song, close your eyes. Ask the Lord right now to do a deep work. Right there where you find yourself, right there, those watching online. I want you to make it personal with Jesus. Whatever you've been going through, whatever may be going on, if you need a little bit more, if you need a touch, if you want God to do a deeper work, if you need power from on high, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the altars. You can come to the altars. You can spend some time with Jesus right now. And I want this time just to be between you and the Lord. I know they have the ushers. They could just guide them to the spacing. Right there where you find yourself, spend some time with Jesus. Hallelujah. Know that He's able here this night. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Right there where you're at, spend some time with Jesus. Here this night, give Him your heart. Speak to Him, just you and the Lord. Whatever may be going on, I want you to open your heart to Jesus. If you don't know what to say, just sing that song. Sing that song and draw close to the Lord.